Pray with me, please. Dear good and gracious God, may some word of mine be some word of yours for some one of yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to plant a seed of just three things for you to think about as I'm giving this message today. And they are teaching, rest, and helping other people. I'd like to start off with a story. When I was younger, I got a job at an insurance agency as a claims adjuster. It was really my first job where I had an office. The morning I arrived for the very first day, I was greeted by the office manager who had prepared my office, and she showed me where it was at and everything, and she had had it prepared. She had cleaned it up, she'd put a stapler in there, an adding machine, a phone, just everything that I needed. But then she said to me this. She said, as you can see, this office does not have a credenza, but if you would like one, we have an extra one. I had no idea what a credenza was, okay? No earthly idea, okay? So I didn't really want to appear stupid and let them know I was on the very first day. So I thought about it, and I said to her, well, you know, I just don't know if I want a credenza or not, so let me let you know. I'll get back with you, okay? So then I went and got out my trusty, handy-dandy Webster's Dictionary, and I discovered that a credenza was an extra piece of furniture that's usually placed behind your desk for additional storage. And I looked around the office, and I saw that everybody else had a credenza, so of course I wanted a credenza. So I went to her, and I said, yes, I believe I'd like a credenza. And it was probably, though, at that very moment that I thought back in time that I thought about it, and I've learned that everyone has to learn a word for the very first time, right? Everybody has to learn something at one point in time. But over the years, I've learned that the best way to know if you truly understand or know something is if you can teach it to someone else, right? I've tried to teach guitar before, and it's really hard. It must mean that I don't know enough about it to be able to teach it. But this is exactly what was happening in the first line of our gospel lesson this morning. Let me read it to you. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Notice the words, all that they had done and taught. So obviously, they were taking out the message to other people that Jesus had taught to them. Note, though, that Mark uses the word apostles, maybe for one of the very first times in the Gospels, to describe the disciples. Some people think apostles and disciples may be exactly the same thing, where they're slightly different. But why did he do that? Well, it begs the question, why is that? So I looked it up. A disciple is a student, one who learns from a teacher. And an apostle is one who is sent to deliver those teachings to others. Apostles means messengers or one who is sent. We can then say this, that all apostles are disciples, but not all disciples are apostles. Let me read that to you again, okay? That all apostles were disciples, but not all disciples are apostles. This is important to know because Jesus himself was a teacher, and the disciples themselves were not great theologians. He had not went into the synagogues and went out and searched the most learned people to teach. He wanted to teach people that were beginning and starting on up, okay, with their knowledge level. These were just simple men. They were fishermen. They were tradesmen. They needed this time of almost 3 years to spend with Jesus so that he could teach them what they needed to know because he wasn't going to be with them much longer. The apostles in the lesson today had returned and gathered around Jesus to tell him all that they had done and all that they had taught. But Jesus wasn't done teaching them. He still was teaching them. The scripture today says that there were so many people coming and going around them that they couldn't even eat. We've all been that busy before, with people hustling and bustling around us. So Jesus says to them, come with me, just yourselves, nobody else, and let's find a quiet place so that you can get some rest. He wanted them to rest before they told their stories. I believe he was teaching them at that very moment that ministry is hard work, and that you need to be able to spend some time with the Lord so that they could recharge their batteries, if you will. You know, Pastor Cal's doing that right now, okay? He's out recharging batteries. He takes on all of our troubles and all the things that we all know that are upsetting us, and he takes those on, and he's helping to deal with those issues as well. And so he needs some time to get away and to rest. But you know, we too still need to hear and heed to those words today. We too need to take time to relax and read the Bible and to pray. We don't have Jesus physically among us, but if we turn to the Bible and we pray to the Lord, then he will give us that rest. The scripture then says that Jesus and the apostles went by boat to a solitary place, but were followed by a crowd. And then it goes on to say that Jesus had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Have you ever felt that way? You ever felt kind of lost? That's what sheep do, I understand. I'm not a farmer, but I think sheep go in all different directions if they don't have somebody to lead them. And after Chris and I, though, I want to tell you another little story. After Chris and I had been married for a few years, that's kind of the way we felt. We had both been churched people. We had went to church our whole lives. But when we got married, just like a lot of people do, we'd stop going to church for a while. So we kind of felt lost. And we both realized kind of at the same time, we come to the conclusion that we needed to start going to church. And not just going to church, but going to church regularly. And the number one thing that we needed is what it's talking about today in the gospel. We needed education. We needed Christian education. Me a lot more so than Chris. And what we were searching for in that church was education. Friendship came later. Fellowship came later. But what we really need was that Christian education. And Chris, interestingly enough, when she was in college, she's a social worker. She took a class on religious studies. And in one of those videotapes it showed was none other than our very own Stan Peterson. Many of you know Stan Peterson. And he just seemed like such a calm, relaxed person. But above all else, he was a wonderful, wonderful teacher. So, as I say, the rest is history. We started attending Holy Trinity Lutheran Church. And he didn't let us down. Each and every Sunday, we were just blessed with the best sermon that was just so educational, and we just loved it so much. And in addition to that, we had an excellent associate pastor, John Malzahn. And again, both were excellent teachers, and it was exactly what we needed at the time. But you know what? It was pretty evident that after just a few weeks, I discovered that I had a lot to learn. They used words like Pentecost and narthex and liturgical and chancel. They didn't use credenza, but they might as well have because I didn't know what those words meant either. You see, I had grown up Baptist, and it didn't really involve a lot of education at the little Baptist church I went to. If it didn't involve going to the altar and being baptized and those kind of things, it really wasn't discussed very much. The really funny thing for me, however, was as we attended Holy Trinity, we must have attended for about 6 months, and we found it odd that neither the pastors, Pastor John or Pastor Stan, neither one of us asked us if we wanted to become members. I don't know if any of you had that similar experience or not, but we did. And so this was so foreign to me because in the churches that I had grown up in, if you attended two times in a row, they were wanting you to be baptized, they wanted to give you your offering, they wanted you to join the church, and not in any particular order, by the way. So after all this in my mind, I finally asked Pastor John, I said, how come that you aren't asking us to become members? And he said, well, we only take members in once a year and you missed the class. So that was really foreign to me, okay? And since we weren't transferring from another Lutheran church, we needed to go to this new members class. At the time, I thought this was about the craziest thing I've ever heard of in my life. And I thought, what a waste of time. But boy, was I wrong. Later, I understood the wisdom behind it. It was exactly what I needed. Pastor Stan and Pastor John were so great, and we both learned so much during these first two or three years. What was also great, however, is that neither pastor asked me to do a darn thing during that first 3 years. Neither one of them did. Can you believe that? In a Baptist church, they'd have you out washing the windows the next day, you know? So looking back on it, Pastor Stan and Pastor John were doing what Jesus was doing. They were viewing me as someone who needed Christian education and wanted to view me as a disciple. They were teaching me what I need to know, just like in our gospel lesson day. But then, after attending for maybe 2.5 to 3 years, Pastor Stan asked me if I would teach an adult Sunday school class. Boy, did I get nervous. I mean, just the thought of it made me nervous. And, you know, I just didn't think I could do it. But, you know, Stan had a way. He was so reassuring, and he gave me the confidence to be able to try to do it. You know, I'm sure that I didn't do a very good job those first few times. However, it seemed like each and every time I did it, I got just a little bit better and a little bit more confident. Pastor Stan then later asked me if I would lead, and Chris and I, to lead a young adults group in the evenings. And that was some of the best times we ever had at Holy Trinity. We had some young, but it was some of our age group as well. And it was just some of the best times that we had. And, you know, it's interesting that out of that group, you just don't know how God works, do you? I mean, sometimes at the time you don't see it. But out of that group was a young couple that moved into our church. And later, the lady ended up becoming the pastor at Holy Trinity Lutheran Church. She had went away to seminary, and we supported her, and she went away and came back as the minister at Holy Trinity. Well, in conclusion, I'd like to think that in today's gospel, one of the most important parts, however, is Mark chapter 6, verses 55 through 56, where it says, "They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into the villages, the towns, or the countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even just the edge of his cloak. And it said that all who did touch it were healed." People were drawn to Jesus, as we can see from this lesson today. The New Testament, to the best of my knowledge, never has any of the writers, however, describe his physical appearance. If it wasn't his physical appearance that drew people to him, then what was it? Well, people obviously had heard about his messages, and I believe that obviously they were drawn to that, but it doesn't say that in this gospel. It said that they were coming to him for healing. They had physical, earthly needs that they had. I believe that the healing that Jesus did was and still is to us a valuable lesson. It reminds me of James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, where it says, and you'll recognize this, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Those of you that know me best know that I have a passion for evangelism. But probably the singular most important thing that I've learned in all my years about evangelism is that an evangelism campaign is worthless if it's not accompanied by true compassion and a desire to help people. We need to be the hands and the feet of Jesus when we see people hurting. We must seek those that are struggling with the loss of a loved one, those with poor health, still others who are going through the loss of a job or divorce or whatever it might be. People will not care about listening to you unless they know first that you care about them. People don't want to be preached at. They desire someone who truly cares about them and loves them. I'm going to do my best. I was singing last night, so I'm going to do my best to sing just a couple little verses of a song that really spells this out beautifully. Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Jesus, Jesus, can I tell you how I feel? You have given me your spirit. I love you so. Love, 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 love. The gospel in one word is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love, love, love. Amen.